I want to welcome everyone here this morning. I was excited to come, not because I'm preaching, but because I'm going to see you all. So thanks for coming. I felt kind of out of place this morning. Ryan was ordained last Sunday, and I thought he should be up here, and y'all want to hear him, not me. But I guess we're going to give him a break, and when he comes back, he's going to be wide open, I think. So this morning I'm going to do something just a little bit different. We had a tremendous children's class last Sunday morning. And Ryan, I thought about that example all week, and it was powerful. I think we're going to have a children's class this morning too. And Joey, if you don't mind, can you bring me the mic? So would all the children come forward? The message is going to be about being the light, and that's kind of what the children's class is going to be about. So about 17 years ago, we were down in Belize, and I was pretty active back then, and I didn't want to sit around, and my brother-in-law was down there, so I said, hey, why don't we do something? So we decided we're going to go explore a cave. And back then, you could still rent a canoe, and we went back to what Barton's Creek Cave is, and it's like a big hole in the mountain, and there's a river that comes out of this cave. And so we took a canoe, and I sat in the back, so I balanced the canoe, and I took my big flashlight along, big, big mag light, and we went back, paddled back in there, and we looked up. There's high ceilings. There was stalactites hanging down. We even saw an Indian skeleton back there, and some pottery and things like that, and it was beautiful. And as we traveled on back in the cave, we went in about a mile, and all of a sudden the ceilings got really low, and we had a big fellow along. He was sitting in the middle of the canoe, and the ceilings were so low that we had to lay back down in the canoe like this and put our hands on the ceiling and kind of wedge our way through there. Well, guess what? The big fellow, he got nervous. He couldn't swim, and he started getting the heebie-jeebies, and the canoe started shaking like this. And next thing I knew, my light fell in. It went plump down into the river and went way down, and it got dark. My brother-in-law up front fortunately had a light, and when we got through there, he put his light off, and it was so dark. I could put my hand right here, and I couldn't see anything, and all of a sudden, I started getting the heebie-jeebies, because it was so dark, you couldn't see where you're going. We were lost. And if we wouldn't have a light, we didn't know which way to go. You wouldn't even know which way is up or down almost. And finally, he turned his light on, and I told him, hang on to that light. Don't lose that light. Because if we do, we're going to be lost. We're going to be in trouble, right? So light is very important. If there is no light, we couldn't see where we're going or what we're doing. So this morning, I got a little bit of a lesson. Does anybody know what this is? It's a light, right? Okay, what do we do with this? Yeah, all right, let's turn it on once. It's not working. Something wrong, right? Well, if there isn't any light, we better check the inside, see what's wrong. So let's open this thing up. First of all, I'll say this. There are some things in life that keep our light from shining, right? We'll talk about that, but let's look what's in this light. Uh-oh, there's some bad stuff in there, right? So what are some things that keep our light from shining? Like bad words? When I was a little boy, when I said bad words, and when I lied, sometimes my mom would grab me by my ear and drag me to the bathroom and shove a bar of soap in my mouth and wash my mouth out. That's why my ears are so big. Right? Okay. So we got to get all this bad stuff out of here, right? Okay, now we got all the bad stuff out of our life. That's how getting bad stuff out of our life is. We need to repent if we have lying, cheating, and stealing, things like that, bad attitudes, right? Sometimes we don't want to share. We got to get that stuff out of our life. And then we put good stuff in our life. We put Jesus in there, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So if Jesus is in our heart, then our light will work, right? Let's see if it works now. Sure enough, now it works. So remember this week, if you're tempted to lie, steal, cheat, whatever, if you don't want to share, if you have a bad attitude, we need to get rid of those things so that our light can shine, right? Okay, what would be a good song to go along with that? Emily? I'm not Emily. Forget your name. Go ahead. What's a good song to sing with that? How about this? Is that anybody, you? This is the light of mine. I think that would be a great song, right? So why don't we all get up and we sing as loud as we can, This Little Light of Mine, all right? All right, I better get my notes here so I know what we're going to sing. Okay, This Little Light of Mine, that is hide it under a bushel, no. Won't let Satan blow it out. Let it shine till Jesus comes, all right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All right, I guess you can go back to your parents. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to read that. Christ talking here, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, let it shine isn't just for the little children, but it is for us too. This might not be a good Mennonite message, I'm not sure. Because us as Mennonites, we struggle a little bit with sharing our faith, I think, at times. So, if you think about light, you know, what really is light? The world we live in, I think we could all agree, is more and more of a dark place. And light is a wonderful thing. If you go in a dark, dark room, all you need is just a little light, and it illuminates the whole room. The darkness has to flee. We couldn't live without light. There's no way that we could live without light. If we think of Genesis, one of the first things that God created was light. He talks about, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he says, the earth was without form and was darkness and void. And then he says, and God created the light. And because of the light, we can live. And that's the way it is spiritually also. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So if the light is within our heart, We will shine. Our life will shine. And going to Mark 16, verse 15, is the Great Commission, where Christ said, you don't have to turn to that. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So I heard one preacher say it this way. It's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. So that is our job as believers. We are to bring the light to the world, the people around us. We're going to influence someone, either for the good or the bad. So if we have Christ in us, which is the Holy Spirit, our light will shine. Only 2% of Christians share their faith. If you think about that, that's a very low number. And if you stop and think, it would really be interesting to know if you could track who was a witness and why you became a Christian, or how someone witnessed somewhere, someone shared the gospel that you were willing or you were able to receive Christ. And I had to think of that in my own life, and looking back many, many years when I was a young boy, we had an Amish hauler that used to haul us around, and her name was Anna Hostetler. And she was, at one point, she shared the gospel with my mom, and she brought a Bible, and she gave my mom a New Testament to read. And because of that, mom became a Christian. And through that, dad became a Christian. And at that time, they were old or Amish. And back in the old days, salvation wasn't a very known thing among the Amish. It wasn't preached very much. And because of that, they were kicked out. They were put into bond. They had to leave the church because they believed different. They believed that salvation is through faith in Christ. It's not by, you know, doing things. So I don't know who the person was that influenced you. Maybe for JD, maybe it was the Chups, or, you know, maybe someone influenced someone somewhere is why you are here this morning. And so our job is to share the gospel with those people around us, people that we can come in contact with. Better follow my notes here. I'll get off track. Sorry, I have to put my glasses on so I can read. So I had to think of the little boy in Scripture. You know, he didn't have much, but he shared his lunch with Christ. He shared what he had, and because of that, 5,000 people were fed. So back in history, and I forget exactly, was it the Mennonites in Russia? Was it in Switzerland? It was somewhere back in history. I heard someone say this. I think it was Marcus Yoder when he was at New Life teaching the Mennonite history. That at one point in history, there was a certain country, and I think it was the Russians, that allowed the Mennonites to dwell in that country as long as they would not share their faith. As long as they're quiet, they were able to stay there. But as soon as they share their faith, they're going to be in trouble. So it didn't turn out very well. As time went on, these people became materialistic. They became stagnant. They didn't share their faith. I was thinking of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a sea where there's lots, or a river flows in, but it never flows. Nothing goes out. It evaporates. So it doesn't give out. Maybe that's kind of the way we are sometimes, you know, kind of like eating Thanksgiving meal. We eat and eat and eat, but we don't give anything out. And that's not God's will for us. He wants us to be sharing our faith with others. So do we ever share the gospel with someone? The next scripture I have is Mark, reading in Mark here, 5. There's a story about when Jesus came across the sea, and that night, I think if I'm not wrong, that night they were in a big storm, and Jesus quieted the sea. They came over to the other side. Reading here, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of chapter 5 of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always day and night, or night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered him, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There was about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And when they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, the reason I wanted to read the whole scripture is so you could get a picture of what desperate situation this man was, this man with the devil, with many devils in him. He was going around. He didn't have any clothes on himself. He was cutting himself with stones. They couldn't bind him with chains. And he was in a very sorry mess. He couldn't help himself anymore. And my mind went back to, I think Ryan might have been with us that time. We went to prison in South Carolina. We met a man similar to this one. And back in solitary confinement, I'll just tell you his story. He was didn't have any clothes on. And he was desperate. He hadn't slept for 3 nights. And he was, if you saw him, he looked terrible. I mean, he just looked awful. And our group leader began conversing with him and find out, he says, that there was a time in his life where he made friends with these demons. And now they are turning on him. And he hasn't slept for 3 nights. And he says it feels good for him, you know, to hurt himself, compared to what the demons are doing to him. He said, they're biting me all the time and I can't get any sleep, any rest. And he just wanted to kill himself. That's all he wanted to do, but he couldn't do it in prison there because there wasn't anything to kill himself with. So we were able to point him to Christ. The group leader was actually the one talking to him, but he told us to come and stand around and pray and plead the blood of Christ. And we did, and the demons left, and he had peace, and he received Christ. And someone like that knows how precious the blood of Christ is, how precious deliverance is. So that's what this man was facing here. And then going, so when, okay, just backing up a little bit, I'm getting ahead of myself. So when Jesus had done this wonderful miracle for him, he was clothed and in his right mind. Now he was at peace. He wasn't in torment any longer. And, you know, we might think this is crazy, this is radical, but in a sense, that's Jesus delivers us from similar things, maybe not this dramatic, but he delivers us as well. And then what I find interesting, he just wanted to be with Jesus. He just wanted to go home with Jesus, right? And sometimes I'm in that same position. I've told Jesus many times, I just want to come home with you. I'm tired of this world. I mean, this is a mess around here. I just want to go home. But that's not what God's will is for us. His will is that we stay here and share the gospel with our neighbor. So going to Mark 6, verse 53 and through 56, let's see what kind of a job this man did. So Christ told him to stay there and tell others what great things God has done for him. I can find my scripture here. Okay, now Jesus is coming back, and he says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, I can't pronounce that name, and drew to the shore. Now, this was the same place where this demon-possessed man was. It says, and when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garments. And as many as touched him were made whole. So this man wasn't embarrassed to share his faith, what Jesus had done for him. He was telling everybody the way it looked. I mean, the whole country knew Jesus when he came back. So when Jesus comes back, does the world around us know him? And if not, why not? Maybe this is our responsibility. And it is. So God didn't take us out of the world after he saved us, but he left us here to be a light to those around us. The Holy Spirit is that light, and if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't be a light. Paul wrote in Romans 8:9, he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If we think of the price of a soul, it is worth far more than anything on this earth. Anything that we can, I mean, even 1,000 earths, the price of a soul is worth a lot more. And yet, you know, it does us good to remind us of that sometimes. You know, we get so wrapped up in work, responsibilities, and all kinds of things that we kind of forget that. So how do we share the gospel? Sharing the gospel is not that difficult. Just sharing your testimony with someone else is powerful. Nobody can argue against your testimony. They can't say it's not true because, hey, it's your personal testimony. This is what Christ did for me. He gave me peace. He gave me life. You know, he can do the same for you. Kind of like a beggar, one beggar telling the other beggar where to find bread, right? So letting your light shine is very important. That's what we're here for. That's why Christ left us here. If not, he would have taken us to glory already. So I had to think of that a little bit. You know, Christ said, whosoever believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So how does that work? I mean, the great Amazon River down in Brazil, South America, before it comes to the ocean, I think it's over a mile wide. But somewhere, that river starts somewhere with probably just a little trickle. And that's kind of how it is with us as Christians. You know, we share our faith with someone else. Like this lady that I was telling you about. And then mom becomes saved, and then dad becomes saved, and, you know, children become saved, and others become saved. And finally, as it goes on and on and on, maybe there's a whole multitude going to be in heaven because one person shared their testimony, shared the faith. But Satan doesn't want us to share our faith. He wants us to shut up. He wants us to be embarrassed. We're afraid. Fear keeps us from sharing the gospel many times. We're afraid we'll mess up. But all we have to do is share our testimony. We don't save anybody. The Holy Spirit does. Christ does. All we have to do is be faithful in sharing his testimony. And along with that, testimony is not only verbal, but it's also the way you live your life. Christ said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But us as Mennonites, we're too good at just living our life and not sharing our testimony. I mean, we got lockjaw sometime, right? But taking Christ wherever you go, is it to the workplace? Is it when you go fishing? Is it when you go to Florida, wherever? Take Christ with you. I've started this, and I love to go to Lake Erie fishing once in a while. So my brother and I, we go together a lot. And the other morning when we were ready to go, I says, do you mind if we pray before we go? And so we were about ready to take off, so we took our hats off and we prayed and asked God's blessing for the day and thanked him for being able to go fishing and enjoying the great outdoors and all that. We had a wonderful day. It just seemed like his peace was with us all day long. Some crazy stuff happened, but it turned out okay. Because I know. So take Christ with you wherever you go. Tell you a couple stories. There's one guy that used to take two Mennonites fishing. And he says if he took two Mennonites fishing, he had an ice chest full of beer. Nobody drank any beer. But he said if he just took one Mennonite fishing, he would drink all his beer. So that's kind of a shameful thing to say, but what is our testimony? You know, when we get away from at home or wherever, or when we go to Florida. Tell you a story about that. When I was a young man, my best friend, his mom and dad were in Florida over the winter, and he'd go down there. He wanted me to come down. So we did, I went down. I wasn't married at that time. And not saying Florida is a good place for a single man to go. I don't think really it is. But anyway, I was a Christian believer, and so tried to be strong. But we were looking for someone. Me and my friend were looking for someone. We drove up and down this street trying to find this person. And we stopped. There was a man out playing croquet. He was from Indiana, an Amishman. And he didn't have any shirt on. He was a big man. Big hair on his chest, didn't have any shirt on. And we asked him where so-and-so might live. And then my friend says, and they go to Palm Grove to church. And he kind of pushed his chest out, and I'll say it in Dutch, and he said, Nemo luch die stroos keren dig me. Or nobody on this street goes to church. And it's like, ooh. Do we leave God at home, or do we take him to Florida? You know, it's a challenge. Our life should reflect Christ wherever we go and be consistent on the work, on the job site, wherever. I could share many examples. We're getting late here, but you know, sometimes we think that we meet someone that God couldn't reach that person. I'll just give you a short example of that. Try not to make the story too long. I got too many stories. It's going to go way over time if I tell them all. But when I was about 16, we were doing a job. I was working with my dad and my brothers, and we were building a huge cabin for a guy down in New Lexington. That's when we lived in southern Ohio. And we hadn't met the guy yet, but he rolls in a big four-wheel drive pickup Ram, big old Ram Charger with stacks going up the back. crawls out of his pickup, and he had long hair, and smoking a cigarette, I think, and we were building this cabin for this guy, and he worked in the coal mines down in southern Ohio. And, you know, you'd think a guy like that could never, probably never come to Christ. But, and I'm not saying this to brag in any way, but this is what can happen. My brother and I shared the gospel with him quite a number of times, and we gave him tracks, and we put tracks in his bathroom, we put tracks in his truck, we put tracks wherever we could, you know. And his dad, he was an old bootlegger from Kentucky Hills. He used to have moonshine stills. He'd come and sit there on a stump and watch us work. And so when we finished the job, and also forgot to mention this, he played on a rock team, a rock band. And when we finished the job, he invited my older brothers to a big beer party they were going to have in his basement, and they were going to have a huge party there. And he told them, there'll be more girls there than you can shake a stick at, and he invited them, that type of a person, to get the picture. So about 2 years later, we were working somewhere else, and this vehicle pulls in, and this guy gets out, and I hardly recognized him, but you could recognize him with his voice, and yeah, sure enough, that's the guy. And he gave my dad a big bear hug, and he said, I got saved. And he was all excited. He said, not only me, but my dad got saved too. He said, on the job site where we were, everywhere he went, he found these tracts, and he would read them. And finally, the Holy Spirit convicted him, and he became saved. And now his dad got saved, but his dad passed away in the meantime, so he's gone. But he says, the Holy Spirit convicted him. His life had completely changed. And not only that, he became on fire for the Lord. And down in southern Ohio, he became a Baptist preacher. And you could go on YouTube and find his channel. And his mission was to people that were on drugs. And he'd bring these young people in his church on drugs. So you never know. You never know what a tract can do. You never know what your witness can do on the job, wherever you're at. I could tell you a lot more stories. We don't have time for them. So, just reading my notes here, trying to make sure I don't skip anything. So in order to be a light, though, kind of like we had in the children's class here, you know, we need to get rid of the junk in our life or our light can't shine. I mean, we can't be in sin, pornography, untruth, hatred, bitterness, all those things. We need to have a clean vessel so God can shine through us. And there's no way that we can be a, you know, we can play. People can see right through us. You know, we might think that, you know, we're fooling someone, but we aren't. The world can see right through us. It's time to quit, and I'm not done yet, but we're going to cut it off here. My mind goes to the verse in Revelations where it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I'm going to share one more story. I feel led to do this. When I was a young boy, after my mom became saved, she would share the gospel with anybody that would stop and listen. And I remember going to grocery stores. She'd have her New Testament. She'd share the gospel with the clerk. She'd share the gospel with anybody. But where we lived, I think we lived on a 4-acre lot, had a little barn and a house, and, you know, we just left the Amish. And there was this farm up behind us on a hill about a half mile away. And there lived an old man and his wife, and they had one son, and his son was basically blind. But we found out that the lady from that house, she was sick. And the story was this man had left the Amish, he'd gone out, he married someone from the world, so to speak. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you are from the world. But if you have Christ in your heart, you're not from the world, all right? So, you know, we get that confused a little bit. But anyway, he brought her back to the Amish, but she wouldn't fit in. She couldn't talk Dutch. The Amish didn't accept her. She was kind of an outcast. And the place up there, the farm was very run down, dilapidated. And I remember she being sick, and Mom took food up there, and I went with her. I troops along behind her, and we got up there. And I think it was a cold November day. There was a piece of tin roof loose on the barn, and it was rattling. I distinctly remember that. And the house didn't have any paint on. It was gray and ugly. And we went inside, and I remember very distinctly this old woman. She wasn't very old, I guess, but this woman was laying in bed, and she was sick, and she was dying. And I very distinctly remember Mom sitting beside the bed. She opened the Bible, and she shared the gospel with her. And I'll never forget that. And when she left, she says, if you need anything, she said to the old man, if you need anything, take a bed sheet and hang it out in the old apple tree, and we can see it from our place, and we'll come as soon as, you know, if you need anything. So I remember one day, Mom left quick, and sure enough, there was a sheet hanging in the apple tree. And this lady had received Christ, and she was, I remember tears running down her cheeks. She was so happy that she had peace in her life. But anyway, we went to see what was going on, and here she had passed away. So, you know, share the gospel wherever you go. If you know of someone that's dying, if you know of someone that's sick, I mean, let God use you. Go share the gospel. It's not hard. I've done that a number of times. I don't want to brag or anything, but it's very rewarding to see someone come to faith. So with that, I better quit. We're going to turn the time over to Tyler again. But I want to, did I read that verse in Revelations 12:11? It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So that's all I have. But our testimony is strong. It's powerful. It's what we should be sharing with others. I'll turn the time over to Tyler.